he's realizing it. So now he's trying to get a different deal because he sees there's no military solution. There's no military path that can say we're going to force open the Strait of Hormuz that's anything acceptable in terms of cost and benefit and how long it might take and what kind of human casualties it may cause to even try.
Can I just ask you, what do you think is the most significant thing for us to kind of focus on? Because there is so much going on. There's the kind of troop movements, there's the potential deal, there's Karg Island. Is there anything that you are particularly kind of interested in?
Well, you know, I think that the most important thing is everything comes down to the Strait of Hormuz. Who is in control of it? Whether you want to say however many, you know, thousands of bombs the U.S. is dropping on Iran, how many ships they've taken out, how many airplanes they bombed, all that. All that is noteworthy, but none of it matters if you are not able to compel them to open that Strait of Hormuz. And right now, it's looking like the thing that does concern me the most is that it looks like, despite all these claims that, you know, we have postponed this ultimatum from Monday until now Friday to give diplomacy a chance, I don't actually see any chance that there's any genuine diplomacy going on because the two sides are miles apart in what they're even trying to what they want to accomplish. Everything still comes down to control the Hormuz. And I fear that we may say, okay, we'll try to break things loose. The bombs aren't working. So let's have a ground operation somewhere, whether it's Karg Island or somewhere in the horseshoe of the bend of the Strait of Hormuz or even some other specific spot somewhere. And we send in some special forces, 82nd Airborne Division, U.S. Marines, and try to seize some kind of land as a method of putting pressure on the Iranian side. That won't work. That's, even if you succeeded, it's not going to change the dynamic anywhere. And all it's likely to do is get a lot of Marines and soldiers killed. The mission might not even succeed. But even if you did, to be able to sustain anything that you would take along that Iranian coast, or God forbid, if we try to go deeper in, which some have speculated that maybe we're trying to seize those 400 and something kilograms of reprocessed material, that would be an even bigger disaster because the chances of success on something that complex are extremely low. And I fear that the administration in the U.S. may say, we got to do something different. We got to break something loose because nothing we've done so far is working. And I think that would make matters infinitely worse.
Should we tackle the rhetoric coming out of the president at the moment? Because he is saying that Iran has given him a very big gift. He's talking about productive talks. He sent members of the administration to the region. What hope do you have that there can be some agreement to stop this war with Iran?
Well, so far, according to CNN a few hours ago, they're saying that the Iranian side is signaling that they are indeed willing to listen and they're willing to talk, but only if it's going to lead to terms they're willing to accept. And those terms are radically different than these 15 points that are being floated from the administration of what they're trying to get done, which ironically are not as bad as what I might have thought they would be from the administration's perspective. Some of them are actually would be fairly good for the Iranian side. But those would have been good on the other side, on the far side of the attack itself. If we had offered those kind of deals early on before there was a war, there might have been some room for something to be worked out. But now then, because we were already in negotiations and the Iranian side had a great deal on the table offering to the Trump administration, better than the 2015 JCPOA, and instead Trump threw that in the trash and said, no, we're going to start a war anyway, because he wanted complete subservience. He said himself, he was looking for total surrender. That's all, unconditional surrender is what he said. Well, he's not going to get that. Now he's realizing it. So now he's trying to get a different deal because he sees there's no military solution. There's no military path that can say we're going to force open the Strait of Hormuz that's anything acceptable in terms of cost and benefit and how long it might take and what kind of human casualties it may cause to even try. And by the way, the fact that we don't have a credible ground force component makes all this bombing almost superfluous. And that was predictable long before this happened. It should have been very clear that you're not going to bomb a country of 93 million people into subservience. We don't have that many bombs, and it's virtually never worked in history. So that was a major, major miscalculation from the beginning. So now then, President Trump is trying to have a deal here. Well, the Iranian side, because now they have leverage they have never had before, which is physical control of the strait and multiple ways to keep the thing closed down. And so we can't compel them. So now then they're saying, maybe we can compel you, the United States, into terms that we can live with, which are include reparations, security guarantees, and you know, you're going to leave some of your bases in the area, which of course are monumentally difficult for Trump to even contemplate, because he's still talking as of tonight that they're, we basically got this one. It's basically wrapped up and we just got to clean it up a little bit, but we're still willing to have a negotiated settlement. So obviously mentally, he's nowhere near making the kind of concessions that the Iranians are looking for. And if they don't get that, they'll just keep fighting. And so far, it doesn't look like there's anything we can do to change that dynamic.
And yet it sounds like Trump is sending increasing numbers of troops to the region. And we're talking about paratroops, but you know, also specialist forces. What do you make of that?
Well, yeah, that's what I was talking about a second ago. I mean, basically that small number of groups and troops and the total, it's in combination with Marines and Army, airborne troops and special forces. It's around 10,000 ground troops. That's like a dot on the map. And anything you're talking about doing anywhere in the country of Iran, which is four times bigger than Iraq and has tremendous mountainous terrain that gives all the advantages to the defender, that's not a fraction of the number of troops you could have. You would need to cause any kind of compulsion or submission from the other side. You might be able to seize a spot target, whether that's an airfield somewhere or one of these islands that are somewhere along the
Gulf Coast.
But even if you do, what have you gained? Nothing. You have gained nothing except now that you made yourself a target, because you've got to sustain it. Whatever you take, you have to sustain it. And of course, there'll be counterattacks and there'll be all kinds of drones, artillery, rockets, you name it. I mean, they're going to be just nonstop attacked from the Iranian side, and it's right there off the shore. So there's very little that they would need to do in terms of logistics to make that happen, but it would be enormously difficult for us to keep it sustained. So I think it would be a very, very foolish, very costly operation with almost nothing to gain for the U.S.
I mean, from the American side, from the administration, the suggestion is that Karg Island is so important economically to Iran that if America could seize it, it would be a great bargaining chip to get Iran to agree to some of the terms that America wants.
Yeah, that's what they say. But I'm like, has anyone read any history at all and understand that Karg Island was came under a lot of fire during the Iran-Iraq War, the eight-year Iran-Iraq War, in which they suffered hundreds of thousands killed in the war and never submitted, never gave in. And by the way, that's only a theoretical situation. Iran has other alternatives. Number one, that they can do. They're not as prolific as Karg Island, but there are alternatives they can use to get oil out. But then even with that, that assumes that we can take it, hold it, and keep it, and over time. And I think that militarily, that is such a difficult task to do. I think this is probably more analogous to what the Ukrainians did when they went into Russia in 2023, where they went into Kursk Oblast and they carved out a big chunk of territory for a while, but they couldn't hold it. The same as when they crossed the Dnieper River, the Ukrainian side did at Krynki. They crossed it, made a beachhead, but they couldn't hold it. And eventually the Russians, because they had all the resources necessary to push them back in both cases, and they did. The same situation would be here, that the Iranian side, we would have maybe 10,000 troops, but they would have potentially scores or hundreds of thousands that they could bring in to bear. And then all the air assets and the drones and artillery and all that. So if we got on the island, there's no guarantee we could keep it. And we might not even succeed in holding on to it, because with just light fighters like that, without a lot of defenses, how would you get wounded troops off? Because everything would have to be in the air, and every single flight, whether it's V-22 Ospreys or Chinooks or the Blackhawks, they're all very, very vulnerable to all kinds of range of Iranian weapons. So this just has disaster written all over it.
It's clear that you believe that the president has miscalculated here. Where do you think this ends? Where does it go next?
Well, that is the real problem. That's why I was so outspoken and adamant that we not take this course of action, because most of these things were entirely predictable. The dynamics that are at play here, like I said, if you've read anything about history, or if you know anything about the culture of Iran, this was always going to be a bridge too far. And so now we've done it. Whether we should or shouldn't have, that doesn't matter. Now we have. So the question is, what next? And what we should do is to do whatever we can to get the best deal we can. And certainly President Trump can't just submit to everything the Iranians are asking. But if he can find any kind of safe-saving way that will give Iranians enough, and especially if they get some kind of third-party security guarantees that, you know, that, that would satisfy them, and then Trump could, I don't know, he could come up and say, well, I got them to concede on X and Y, whatever that might turn out to be, because Iran does have a motivation to end this. So it's not like they have all the cards. They have some, but we have some as well. If he takes whatever it takes to get this war off the table as quickly as possible, to get the strait open back up, to get global commerce going, and that includes not just oil, but the natural gas, the feedstocks, the fertilizers, stuff which is desperately needed all over the globe, we need to get that done as quickly as possible. The worst thing we could do is try to force this by escalating and using a ground force operation in a vain attempt to try to force something that's just not going to work.
Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Davis, thank you very much for joining me this morning.